This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. We're continuing to cover the impact of that storm 9 days ago in the Umpqua Valley. And it really affected a lot of organizations, a lot of folks, of course, individually. And one of those is Wildlife Safari, the general curator, Dan Brands. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us today, Kyle.
We normally talk about happier topics regarding animals and all kinds of things like that, classes and things that are going on. But when you have a game park that's, is it 600 acres?
Yeah, we're just over 600 acres, so we got a lot of acreage out there.
When you think about some folks, some of you listening, in fact, maybe you have a half acre, you know, in Pewcrest, or you've got a few acres out in the country or whatever, you know that you may have been impacted by the storm, but you take 600 acres, well, that kind of changes things a bit. I guess maybe give us an overview of what you've ended up with out there from the storm.
Well, from the storm, you know, Wildlife Safari sits on a single watershed, so all of our water leaves the park through our wetlands area. So you can imagine with the amount of rain that we had coming out of the hillsides, that was a lot of rain coming down through that one single source leaving the park. And so basically with the water coming off the hillside, we had a lot of our culverts just ended up backing up, just couldn't keep up with the sheer amount of water that was going through them. And so we've got some great staff out at Wildlife Safari, and they were there making sure that if they could open culverts up, they were opening them up so that water would continue draining through. Obviously, on Sunday morning, it was so much water in some areas, we just had to close areas down because roads were underwater. And so the biggest impact we had was our wetlands area, where all the water leaves the park. It had six 12-inch culverts, and none of them could keep up with the sheer amount of water. And so our maintenance supervisor, Chris, estimates that we probably had 2 to 3 feet of water going over top of the road out in our wetlands at the high point of the storm.
Now, is that down by the RV park?
No, that's actually over on the other side of Winston on Looking Glass.
Ah,
it comes
okay.
out through that way. So,
man, going into Sunday morning, what were you anticipating might happen?
Well, we've got a couple areas we know that are problem areas. We have, like our tiger exhibits, we've got an area in there that we know is a little bit touchy. So, you know, in those instances, we were able to keep animals out of those locations just for their safety and for general public safety as well. Anticipating, you know, we're anticipating a large amount of rain that day. We just weren't expecting the sheer amount of rain in a very short period of time. So, you know, just working on keeping culverts open, and then we made a very quick decision to start closing areas down just because they were impassable for a lot of vehicles. And by the time we started really assessing it about 10, 11 o'clock, we just decided to close the park for the day and just make sure that staff could stay safe and keep animals safe throughout the day without having to worry about our guests as well.
Well, when you think about, I mean, the drive-through there, which my wife, I think, is on currently as we speak, a lot of people spend an hour or two doing that. And if you're going through in an area, you suddenly run into something and then you're not exactly sure what to do, but oh yeah, there's a lot of large animals around. You can't, it's not, you know, there's not a lot of options there. So that obviously makes a lot of sense that you just close down for the day. When you came in on Monday, what did it look like?
Well, obviously a lot of washout areas on the roads. We had a lot of roads that were impacted just from the, you know, we sit in a valley, which it makes, it's part of the ambiance of Wildlife Safari because you don't see residential areas. You see hillsides that are covered in trees and stuff. Well, that all acted like a catch basin for that large amount of rain. And so we had roads that were washed out. We had one fence line that was completely undermined because it had a culvert going underneath it. So we had a area that you could actually walk through underneath a fence out through our one area. Wetlands, the road had completely come apart out in our wetlands area. So it was unsafe and unpassable for vehicle traffic out there. And so we quickly did an assessment of all our areas. We figured we had about six culverts that had damage to them that we had to do some fairly quick road maintenance to. And yeah, all of our animals were accounted for and doing well. Obviously, they were able to go up to the higher hillside areas and not worry about the onslaught of water coming through the lower sections of the park. And so the animals fared well, but the property did not.
So what have you been able to do so far? I mean, have you had to pull in contractors or?
Well, we've got a great maintenance staff, and we've got some, you know, some of the basic construction equipment out there. So obviously our hardest impact was our tiger cheetah area and the wetlands area. So we started with the tiger cheetah area because we knew we could fix that the quickest. We got the roads repaired up through there because we had washouts in some areas that were 2 feet deep. And so we hauled in a lot of gravel and got those filled back up and got that passable. And then we started working on the wetlands area, which took us probably about 4 days. We had to dig up what we thought was 6 culverts, ended up discovering there was 9 culverts in that location. We put in some brand new heavy duty culvert in that area, so it'll be able to handle future drainage areas through there. And then just hauling a lot of gravel, not only in our wetlands to fill in over top of the culvert, but just road repair through the entire park.
So the gravel, I imagine you had to go obtain elsewhere. Did you have some?
No, we've actually been working with Knife River, and it's been truckload after truckload coming through the park and resurfacing a lot of our roads through there. We're not quite done. The park is 100% open today, but we still have some road maintenance that we need to do once we get through this spring break.
So when you look at this, any idea how this compares to 96 and what happened?
Well, in 96, it was a result of my understanding. I wasn't here then.
Right.
96 was a result of, some rain and some melting high temperatures further up in the mountain areas. So primarily what the impact was coming down the river and the river levels coming up. Well, Safari sits high enough that the only thing that I know of that impacted Wildlife Safari was the access into the park. Safari Road was underwater. Staff were being canoed in across to the high waterways so they could get in the park and care for the animals. Well, this was different because this really wasn't a river impact. This was just a sheer 3.5 inches in a very short period of time. And so your tributaries, your creeks, your drainage ditches and all that weren't able to keep up with the sheer amount of rain. And so the river actually stayed fairly low, but everything else was just flooding and couldn't keep up with the sheer amount of water. So it was a different impact, but this one did impact Wildlife Safari. We're in 69. It just impacted our road coming into the park.
Or 96, yeah.
Yeah.
So the it's been very busy there, kind of nonstop ever since, I imagine.
It has been. Obviously, this week we spent making sure we could get open, fully open for spring break, which kicked off this weekend. And with this beautiful weather, attendance is looking really great. People are out having a lot of fun today and yesterday, and we're hoping on through this week.
And any of this damage, I was trying to think through this. I mean, does insurance cover any of this?
Well, unfortunately, it's mostly property damage, so our insurance isn't covering any of this. So this is just all out of pocket for us. So we are... Obviously, we did a spring appeal that just came out at the beginning of this week, letting people know of our situation, and we're having accepting donations to help offset the cost of all this work that we're doing right now.
And have all this going on, I mean, in some ways, I guess it's better that it was before spring break, a week before. It gave you some time to deal with it before you got the onslaught of the tourist folks.
Absolutely. That full week, I mean, obviously we rolled up our sleeves and everybody was out pounding the cement and just working very hard to get everything fully open for this coming week, because we know spring break is one of our biggest weeks of the year. And so now that we're open, obviously we still got some work to come in and do after spring break, but we're just making sure that this week moves smoothly. And obviously, you know, the roads are in great shape, at least the areas we could get to this week. And it's a great opportunity to come out and view the animals.
So, but it is probably a little muddy on the drive-through still.
Actually, the drive-through is not too bad. Most of the areas have been addressed, and we've got a good coat of rock over top of it. Some of the ancillary areas where public aren't necessarily at are our next steps. We just wanted to make sure that anything that impacted our guest visitation was addressed first.
All right, we'll talk more about the damage of Wildlife Safari and other things happening as well when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:47. Lars Larson coming up at 1. And at 4 o'clock, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio tomorrow. Douglas County Emergency Manager Emily Ring will give us an update on not only how things are going with the storm impact, but also the importance of people reporting damage to county government. Dan Brands, General Curator of Wildlife Safari, speaking of damage, talking about what they've dealt with in the last week or so. Now, you mentioned the financial impact. Probably at this point, it's a little early to know what the number hit's actually going to be, right?
Well, actually, our numbers as of this morning, which is all the work we did last week, are just under $50,000, and we still have a couple of culverts and some additional gravel work to do in the park, so we're probably going to top that before we're done. So it's definitely an ongoing work in progress for us.
Now, I know with any large entity like this, you know, you budget things, you kind of set money aside and all that, but this one had to be a pretty hard hit.
It was, yeah. We're a nonprofit organization, and obviously we do plan ahead a little bit, and we've got some funds set aside just for emergencies, but obviously you don't want to dip into that if you don't have to and keep it for the true emergencies. It just happened to coincide with our spring appeal going out right now, so we were able to let everybody know quickly, able to change directions and let them know about our financial need of getting things back up and operating for spring break.
Now, if somebody isn't on your spring appeal list, it would normally find out that information and they want to make a contribution, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the easiest way to do it is to go on to our website at wildlifesafari.net, and you can, there's a donation tab there. You can make donations directly there, or you can call into our office and talk to them over the phone, and we can either give you our address to mail checks or take a credit card number over the phone as well.
Now, along with all of this, this time of year, you've got spring going on. What were some of the sort of highlights happening in the park?
Well, as of this week is kind of our kickoff to our summer, and so all of our animal encounters are operating this week. So you can come out and you can feed a hippo or feed a giraffe, take a walk with a cheetah. So all those activities are going on. The bears are up from hibernation, so they're out and being very active, especially with this nice weather that we have today. The drive-through, food service, everything is just in full gear. Our camel rides also started this week, so you can come out and ride a camel as well. So everything's open in operation, so we encourage everybody to come out, check out Wildlife Safari, and see all the new things that are happening.
Now, do you have any big projects outside of dealing with the flood event? Any ongoing construction or other projects that are happening?
Well, obviously, the flood damage is priority number one, but we did do a fundraiser for Painted Wild Dogs, African Painted Wild Dogs, last year. That exhibit is under construction right now. We are hoping to wrap that up in the next few months. And then we'll be bringing in Painted Wild Dogs, a pack of them coming in this summer, we're hoping. And we'll have, right now we've got breeding recommendations, so we'll be able to get our dogs out there and get a breeding pack going. And so we're really excited about introducing that. It's a new species for Wildlife Safari, introducing that to the park. Obviously, last year we opened up the children's zoo, or the barnyard petting area. We've done some expanding to that this year. We've got a new housing for our flamingos and a new reptile building that's under construction right now. So that one's not complete, but we hope to have that done soon, where you'll be able to see our big tortoises and a few snakes back on exhibit in Wildlife Safari that have had a hiatus for about 5 years.
So how do you figure out, because Wildlife Safari is continuing to evolve and never remains static for very long, if at all, it doesn't seem like, how do you decide kind of what to do next?
Well, that's a process with the staff and our board of directors. We sat down and a few years back, and we kind of looked at what's popular, what are we missing, what needs work, and we developed a 10-year master plan for the park. And so we've been working through that 10-year master plan. We're in about year six right now. We've done a great job of doing that. And so it's actually time for our board of directors and our staff to sit down again and start looking at the next 10 years. What projects didn't we get to in the last 5 years? What projects do we still have on docket for the coming up ahead, and laying out a plan that'll work for us, for our financial needs, and for what the public will be interested in bringing out.
And how do you work with all these other game parks, zoos, similar type places? It's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. Maybe you can. You've got all these animals, and sometimes you get an idea of one that you want to bring in, and you have to go find it.
We do. We are actually one of a few facilities that's called duly accredited. So we are accredited with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and we're also accredited with the Zoological Association of America. And so both of these zoo organizations in the United States have breeding programs for various animals in our care. And so the idea is that we're maintaining good genetics, not just at Wildlife Safari, but throughout the United States. And so we sit down once, at least minimally once every 3 years, and develop breeding plans for a lot of the animals that are in our park. And we start moving animals around, and we have kind of target goals of how many animals we need to have throughout the United States and for each institution. And we make sure that each one of those needs is met as best as we can over that time period.
Now, the cheetah, of course, has been the big emphasis since the beginning of things. And you remain, is it the number two cheetah breeding?
We are the number two. We're actually number one in the Northern Hemisphere. And so we've had a lot of great success with breeding cheetahs at Wildlife Safari. A lot of that contributes to the vast open spaces and then being able to look over a savanna of lots of hoof stock out there.
And how many cheetahs do you have right now?
We are at 24 cheetahs in the park right now and soon to grow again, very soon.
Does that, is there kind of a target amount that you try to stay around? Obviously, you lose one periodically and a few come and go?
Yeah, Wildlife Safari, you know, one of the things we do is we develop a collection plan. Based off of our master plan, we figure out what our collection needs to look like just at Wildlife Safari. And so we lay out numbers, our goals for each of those animals. And so for cheetahs, we like to aim between 20 and 30 animals in the park at a time. And so then we work with the SSP on maintaining that and moving animals out when we have extra animals in the park.
And talk about the importance of being connected with these national organizations, just in terms of really being able to operate the park and take the best care of the animals.
Well, when you go through an accreditation process, obviously they come through the park and they look at your animal welfare, the staffing situation, you know, are your staff trained to take care of the animals in their care? Do you have the right facilities to take care of the animals? You know, and so they look at those various things. They give you their stamp of approval at the end of the day if we've met all those qualifications. And then being part of those organizations, obviously they've got representation in D.C., so they're out there lobbying for us to meet our interests and help make known what we're doing as far as conservation and education throughout the zoo field.
So how many parks are there that are fairly similar to Wildlife Safari?
Well, Wildlife Safari is one of the unique ones because we're a drive-through facility, and so there's not a lot out there. The number has gone up the last few years, but my guess, off the top of my head, probably about 20 to 30 facilities that are drive-through similar to Wildlife Safari.
In the entire country?
In the entire country, yes.
Wow. And are people, I mean, do tourists ever show up and realize that it's not a drive-through?
A lot of people come in, think they're coming in to see a zoo, and they're expecting to get out of their car and walk and go by all these stagnant exhibits. They're not realizing that they're going to be in their car. They're going to be experiencing a lot of large animal herds that are interacting together. And obviously, when you go through the first time, it's going to be a completely different experience when you go through the second time because the animals have moved. There's different interactions happening. It's always a new experience when you go through the park.
And some of the reactions do you hear from people when it's their very first time to go through?
Well, a lot of them are really excited because they're used to seeing animals in static zoos. And so when they get to see these animals out in these vast open areas that can just roam and interact with each other, they really love the concept of what we have to offer our animals here. And our breeding success with our cheetahs, the breeding success with our hoof stock, and even a lot of the other smaller animals that we've had luck with have really, you know, speaks a lot to our area of Winston and the space that we can give these animals.
And how does it benefit the animals as well to have that open environment versus sort of a pen, for lack of a better word?
Well, when you're in a typical zoo, and we do it to a certain extent, is you have to offer animals some kind of enrichment to keep them mentally, you know, in good shape. And so one of the things that we can do is when they're interacting with these large herds or walking around, there's a lot of self-enrichment that happens each and every day. And so they actually reduce the amount of work our staff have to do on providing puzzles or special feeders for these animals that might only have a half acre to roam in a typical zoo.
And again, if people want to help out with your current need, how do they best do that?
Well, they can go to wildlifesafari.net, and all of our information is right there. There's even a donation page that they can go to and make a donation right online. We are open 7 days a week, Kyle. We open at 9 a.m. and we close down at 6 o'clock, so come out and see us this spring break.
All right, Dan Brands, Wildlife Safari, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.